Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. General, I would imagine that an essential part of taking care of your medics is to make sure that they have the right balance in their lives between their professional duties and their family duties. Could you elaborate on your efforts to create a better balance for your medics through staffing, finding the right mix of military, civilian, or contractors, and by focusing on recruiting and retention efforts to maintain the proper mix?
Al, you're absolutely right. The real strength of our Air Force Medical Service is first, last, and always people. For each one of our medics, they are well-trained. They are well-motivated. They are well-prepared. But you are very correct in characterizing the balance that's necessary. Our mission can be all-consuming, and it can occupy 24 hours of every day. But it's absolutely essential for each of our Air Force medics to have the opportunity to have balance in their lives, to be able to engage in that mission, but also to have time for family, for professional growth, for personal and spiritual growth, and to be able to balance. The mission, for example, can become all-consuming for a period of time. Then you have to rebalance and find that additional time for family, for growth, to get that individual back into the circumstances that best assures long continued satisfying service. So as we look at the right mix of medical forces, physicians, nurses, administrators, scientists, and all our enlisted personnel, we do look for that proper and balanced mix that allows us to support the mission, because my view is that we are going to be in a very high ops tempo for years to come. So to find that right force structure that allows you to aerobically, if you will, meet the mission, do it repetitively, and continue to do it in a productive, challenging, and satisfying way really does cause you to get to the right force mix. What we are doing in terms of our recruiting and retention is focusing on having sufficient personnel to aerobically meet that mission and do it repetitively over time, and to have the correct balance among active duty as well as reserve and guard and our civilian Air Force medics that are important parts of our team. This allows us to get to that best balance, if you will, to meet today's mission, but to continue to prepare for tomorrow's, and when tomorrow arrives, to execute that mission as well. So it really is a balance. Now, you know, we also have to understand that the mission can change. As we look 5 or 10 years forward, we are anticipating what the world might look like and what might be required. And you also have to understand that we have an expanding mission today. The stability operations that we're currently engaged in helping Iraq and Afghanistan and other countries rebuild their infrastructure and get back on a solid footing is an emerging mission, and one that I think will be with us. And there's also the expectation that we'll be able to respond to our nation's needs within our shores. Hurricane Katrina and Rita certainly pointed out the need for our military to, at times, assist our civil capabilities in meeting the needs of the Americans within our shores. So we have a very challenging and, over time, I think, perhaps changing mission requirement that causes us to look at our force mix and to be sure that we can meet that, but always in a way that provides the balance. Recruiting is always a challenge to have the best and the brightest come forward, but we are blessed with folks that do just that, and they do come forward, and I will tell you, they continue to impress as they move forward. But it's also important to retain those individuals. And in order to do that, we need to continue to assure that they have full productive opportunities to exercise their skills, as well as proper compensation, to assure that we are competitive with the private sector and others that would also dearly love to utilize these individuals. So right force mix, right incentives, and most importantly, all put together to meet our nation's needs.
General, would you tell us more about your involvement with the Task Force of the Future of Military Healthcare? And what are some of the core findings and recommendations associated with this effort?
Well, the Task Force on the Future of Military Healthcare was chartered to provide a very close look at military medicine, what it is today, and how it should be structured and prepared to meet the challenges of tomorrow. The task force had seven civilian as well as seven Department of Defense representatives. I was chosen to be one of the Department of Defense representatives. The individuals selected, and I will characterize the other 13. These were very, very bright, engaged, and very committed individuals that took this task on as a focus and a very important job to be done correctly. As the task force came together, there were guiding principles, and I think the guiding principles really drove the outcome. The first principle was to maintain or improve the health readiness of our military forces and preserve the capability of military medical personnel to provide operational health care anywhere worldwide. Secondly, it was to maintain or improve the quality of care provided to all our beneficiaries, taking into account their health outcomes as well as access to the care that they need. And the third was to result in improvement in the efficiency of the military health care by utilizing best health care practices in the private sector and internationally. So as we had these guiding principles among several others, it really did shape the recommendations. I could characterize the recommendations in several broad categories. One particular thrust of the recommendation was to ensure that the direct care system, the uniformed health care system, was properly prepared and capitalized to do the mission that it needs to do, and in so doing, was properly integrated with the private sector care, our managed care support contractors, who are very important allies in assuring that we're able to meet the entire spectrum of care that our beneficiaries need and deserve. So that integration, I think, leverages the best aspects of both systems, but to assure that the direct care system was, in fact, able to meet the mission of the military healthcare system and to continue to do that in the future. Other key recommendations focused on the utilization of prevention as a focus in ensuring that we not only provide intervention when appropriate, but that we focus on prevention, which really leads to the most healthy and most optimal outcomes for all our beneficiaries. And then certainly to increase the efficiency of the military healthcare system, to make it more cost-effective in providing the healthcare benefit and assuring the military medical support that it's designed to provide. Other aspects of this had to do with the benefit aspects, both in terms of costs and co-pays. All of these recommendations are under consideration. Ultimately, it will be the decision of our congressional, our line, and our civilian leadership as to how all these recommendations are brought to bear But I think the task force did a very good job of both characterizing the opportunities to make our whole system better and to comment very specifically on strategies that could improve both the health as well as the efficiency of our military healthcare system.
Now, General, you've had a very successful vocation within medicine and in the service of our country. I'm curious, what advice might you give to someone who perhaps is out there thinking about a career either in medicine or perhaps in the military or perhaps both?
I would very strongly encourage anyone who has an interest in the medical career field in whatever specialty to consider the military as an opportunity. It's not for everyone, but it's an opportunity to both exercise all your skills within your area of medical expertise, as well as serving our nation in a way that I think greatly contributes to the greatness of our country as we have all come to know it. The military is my choice. I have certainly cherished the opportunity to do that, but it may not be for everyone, and that is okay. There are other opportunities to serve, and I would offer the Public Health Service. I would offer the Veterans Administration, just as two other opportunities to consider to serve both our nation's need as well as serving each other in a way that is truly satisfying but truly is contributory towards improving our nation as a whole.
That's a wonderful perspective and great advice, General. Thank you. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, but more importantly, Tom and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and our soldiers across the world.
Well, Tom and Al, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about the Air Force and the Air Force story. It is a privilege to serve, but it's also a pleasure to share that story. For any of our listeners that might desire a bit more information, particularly about Air Force medicine, I would direct you to our website, which is www.sg.af.mil. And if there are any questions or issues that you might have that aren't covered within that website, my staff and my office would certainly be available to address any of those issues or concerns. But again, thank you so much for this opportunity.
Great. Thank you, General. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Lieutenant General James Rodebush, Surgeon General of the U.S. Air Force. My co-host has been Tom Romeo, IBM's General Government Industry Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad, who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.